Okay, so my name is Tim Owen Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 28th of September 2009, and the time's 25 past 11. Can you please tell me your name, age, and where you come from?
Well, my name's Bill G, but I was born, obviously, William G, and I live in London. But I was born in 1966 on the 28th of February in Copthorne Hospital in Shrewsbury.
Okay, thank you very much. When was it you first found out about the One Another Project?
I think I've known about it for a good long time. I mean, I don't know, it feels like the start of the year, but it feels as though it's been something that's very much been in the air the whole of 2009. I knew about it before it started, I suppose.
And what would you say is kind of the most interesting aspects of it to you? And what would be have been your motivation for putting your name forward to take part?
Well, I think there's two absolutely different things. And I think the most interesting thing about the piece is not actually to do with me or the 2,399 other people that are doing it, but I think it is the overall conceptual stance of the piece in terms of it being 100 days of occupation. And I suppose I see it, as a public occupation of this very high profile, I was going to say it's public space, but it's more than public space. I think it is, that it's a plinth, the other statues are sort of generals and kings and queens. And so, that space for this 100 days is being occupied by whoever, for this 1 hour, it's by me. So I think for me, very much, it's that big statement. And that's not about 2,400 individuals, but I'm obviously very pleased that I've been 1/2,400th of that occupation. I know when I've seen Anthony's other work, like particularly his piece The Field, which has got all of those thousands and thousands of little figures like that are looking up at you when you go into a space. I actually now see myself as one of those little sort of clay figures looking up from the work that's been made. So I think that's the most important thing. And then, I just felt going up there that, I know a couple of other people who've gone up and, have thought of different things that I wanted to do. And I actually thought, occupying the space is the most important thing. And I just wanted to make a clear statement sort of about me, but then actually from that to extrapolate into something that you could see in a sort of wider sort of political with a small p sort of scenario. So that's why I chose to go up with my bicycle and bicycle helmet and the sort of the uniform of very much the uniform of a cyclist in London. And I think it's a very clear statement. I tried to do as little as possible apart from be there in a statuesque way, because I just felt that reads, and particularly putting on the high-vis sort of jacket thing, then that actually you probably can be seen, because that will attract attention. So instead of doing lots of stuff, I wanted to do less stuff to be seen more in the context of the square, and again to relate to the other people, not people, the other statues, the other lumps of stone that are in the square. And obviously, who knows what it means? We live in London in 2009. We live in a city that's got thousands and thousands and thousands or millions of cars and buses and everything else that are in it. Which aren't really sustainable, in the long run. We know front page of the newspaper I looked at this morning, the Met Office is saying actually, the climate might increase by 4 degrees in the next 40 years. And we know that hopefully more people know as well. I know some people do, but, then our life will be just so radically different. Riding, if everyone rode a bike, it's not going to change that, but actually it's a tiny part of that. And I think it's also just a nicer thing to actually ride a bike through London. So bit of a blaring on here, but also then I just thought, okay, there's people on, you know, the other statue, and I really should know who it is, but the other statue, you know, which is probably, I'd call it the third plinth, you know, on a horse. So they've got, you know, something to convey them. Definitely, I think, a general type character. So, you know, they're sort of going into battle against a foe. So also, I thought there was like a resonance in terms of going into battle with, you know, London traffic, in terms of being a cyclist in London, and that's what we daily have to do. You know, we put on our battle uniform in terms of our helmet and our high vis stuff, and then we battle through the traffic.
So can you, for the record then, tell us a little bit more about the personal significance and importance of cycling, and what that experience is like for you every day when you travel around London with all these buses and cars?
It's my main way of getting around in London, and often that means it's the quickest way of getting around. I mean, if I'm going like to the other side of London, then I'll get on the tube or whatever, you know, but generally I try and use my bike because it's quicker. But amazingly, you know, it's this thing that if it's the morning and it's a rush hour, you know, it's 8:30, 9:00 going to work, how it will take me 20 minutes to get to work, whereas, you know, if it's an hour earlier, or, you know, in the evening, then it will take me 10 minutes, because, you know, the level of traffic is just huge. And obviously, being on your bike, you're very aware that you're breathing in lots of fumes of the cars and stuff like that. But actually, I think also at the moment, you know, over the last years, you know, there's been a huge growth in the numbers of people who are, you know, cycling to work, and just, you know, cycling generally. So it's also, you know, it is sort of a shared activity with other people. And, you know, I think just at the moment, I was one of the, 100,000 people last Sunday, on the 20th of September 2009, that went on the bike ride, the Sky Ride, where the whole of the embankment from the Tower of London, sort of right along up here to Trafalgar Square and then down to Buckingham Palace, was closed off. And, you know, it's just, I did it both in the morning, sort of just before they closed, you know, the official time, and that was great because it could go really fast. And then in the afternoon I came with a family and a little boy that I look after sometimes, and we just did it at a far slower pace. And it was I thought, a very strong, you know, the thing. It often happens if you close roads in towns or cities. It's such a strong statement in terms of giving that ownership either to people on their feet or on their, you know, on their wheels. So I think it's, you know, it's an important thing for me, and I suppose that experience is sort of quite current in my mind.
So how did you find the experience standing on a plinth? Was it how you expected? What happened?
I did have that butterflies in the tummy as it went up moment, which was, you know, about the, it felt higher going up on the you know, the JCB thing than I thought it would, than it sort of looks. But actually, because I sort of decided that once I was there, I was going to try and be stationary, apart from this sort of turning around moment in the halfway through, I didn't spend too much time sort of looking down. I was trying to do two things. I was trying to be sort of fixed in the space and within myself, but I was also trying to communicate and tell people I was on the plinth, so that, I don't know, I just wanted people, you know, to see me, and see me obviously there with my bike, you know. And I'd be very interested to know how far the communication got within that hour, how many people did see me, you know, in that time. And then I think when I turned around, and, you know, the second half an hour, I had 15 minutes where I really was trying, I sort of was very present with myself in the space and really not engaging that much with everything else. And then I had a few text messages in, people sort of were encouraging me to, well, they were encouraging me to do things like wheelies and stuff like that, and that's not what I was wanted to do. But they actually said, you know, why don't you smile? Which is a very simple direction. And of course, it. So I sort of then smiled and did a little bit, some waves, both through the camera to people who, you know, weren't physically here in the square. But also, I was very conscious of, particularly any groups of, you know, there are a lot of school groups going to the National Gallery and things. And I tried to, you know, if they were looking at me, I sort of did actually sort of break and make contact with those, which is great, because then there's that ripple goes through the sort of 30 kids, you know, like that. Oh, look, it just wove at me, you know, waved at me. And yeah, so I felt very good about being in that space.
Cool. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background, where you get up to professionally and in your spare time?
Well, I work in the arts. I'm a producer. I work both with artists, helping them make their work, and I work as a programmer, festival director, trying to make programmes of work in different places, mainly in outdoor public contexts. I live in London, but I spend a lot of time outside of London. I'm very sociable, got lots of friends, and they're very important to me, both in London and further afield. And I think I put a lot of energy into those friendships. I very much like bringing people together. I like being brought together with other people to, you know, share common moments, whether it's, you know, a picnic or a meal or a bike ride or, you know, going, just doing something. It's very important for me, a sense of community and a sense of community with people. So that's something that's really important in my life. Yeah. I think those are things I want to say, really. I mean, obviously, you know, again, going to the bike. I'm not such a bike fanatic as I might be coming across, but, you know, I do use my bike, go on holidays and stuff like that. But, you know, that's just, it is a part of my life, but not all my life. I don't want people to think that.
And can you expand a little bit on the themes of your work, how you kind of found yourself in the line of work that you are kind of producing?
Yeah, I'm very aware of artwork being made and the sort of impulse that artists have to make work, but I'm very, very, very aware of who then receives and who sees that work. And I think there have been a couple of moments of revelation in my life, which has actually made me want to engage some of my working time with work that engages a broad sort of non-regular arts going audience, because I feel from those experiences that I've seen and experienced and which I've now increasingly put on for other people is that there again is something about community and bringing people together in a shared space to enjoy something, but there is just also there is at times the realization that people are challenging themselves, and it might not be politically, but it often I think emotionally or relationship wise by some of the work that they see and how they then are seeing that with the people that they're with. So that's very important for me, and I think when you do work particularly in public space that's not you know, you're not having to go through the doors of a theatre or, you know, a gallery or other, you know, designated art space, when it is in, you know, a more democratic space, I think that can make these things happen more and more easily.
And you mentioned there are a couple of revelation moments. Can you expand any more on that?
Well, it's just a moment. I think it was in 1994, and I was lucky enough to be working with my friend Alan Parkinson, who makes very large inflatable sculptures that people go in and have a really lovely experience, transformational experience of light and colour. And he had got a booking at a festival in northern France, in Sotteville, near Rouen, Le Vive City Festival. And it was the first time I'd been to an international festival that focused on outdoor work and work in the public realm. And it was like a 3-day festival, but it was just crammed. And I now know it was actually crammed with a lot of the very best companies that there are in the world making this type of work. So it just was a whole series of extraordinary shows and extraordinary large audiences and extraordinary shows which sometimes engage very, you know, people on a very individual basis, but they happened in this over this 3-day period. And it was just, it for me, I'd been working very much in the sort of live art, contemporary art, sort of hardcore contemporary dance live art stuff, and you know, it was great, and I still, you know, that's very important work which I'm still involved in now. But what was it was this moment of just seeing, you know, this sort of relatively run down sort of suburb town that had lost most of its railway industry, and you know, a quarter or a third of the town were out actually in the situation with these artists, you know, sort of seeing the work and receiving it, and you know, I think being deeply affected by it.
So I think you may well have mentioned before, but things that you kind of think of value the most, what would you say are the most important things to you at this stage in your life?
I think they are the friends. I think they are trying to be generous and trying to encourage generosity in others. And then that's sort of done through different means. So, but I think that's quite important for me.
And what hopes, aspirations, do you, plans do you have for the future?
Well, I'd quite like to be lucky and carry on doing what I do, which for the most part I think is very, very privileged to be able to do what I do. So in a work way, that's that. Keep develop my friends, maybe even have a relationship with somebody. And in terms of the world, you know, I really hope that we can work out a way that people can change to understand that we actually do need to consume less over the coming years, and consuming less can actually give us more, and can give everyone else more. And how we do that, I still don't know, but I think essentially that's the key thing that we need to do to actually maintain or change the situation of, you know, us as a sort of species existing as part of this world.
And you mentioned, sorry, to go back to you again, can you give us a bit of insight into what you get up to in your spare time as well, in your free time when you're not
When I'm not working, what do I like to do? I like to cook food. I like to share food with people. I like to get on my bike and go for bike rides. I like to often see art things, which might be play type things or art gallery exhibition type things. I like to organise things for other people as well, which I'm part of. So, again, a couple of weekends ago, it was very nice to be able to organise a tea party at my place when there was an amazing event going on as part of the Thames Festival, the Feast Project, which was the closing of Southwark Bridge, which I live very close to. And I had my own tea party, and then we went and joined in with that, which is really nice, just bringing different people together. What else do I like doing? I really enjoyed dancing last night, and I don't always do that, but it was an amazing gig I was at with a group from Benin, and it was amazing music, so I think an hour and a half of dancing on a Sunday night was very good for me.
What, as far as the future goes, what worries, concerns, or fears do you have for?
Well, I think I've expressed some of those in terms of how, you know, in terms of, you know, flipping that round. So, you know, that's, you know, I think just how we are with the world and the earth and ourselves is the big, you know, is the big thing. And what do? You know, don't panic, but actually, if you're not going to panic, do you then not do anything? It's really difficult. I think it is the question that we need to ask, in the, find the, even the right way of asking the question, which will be understood, which means that we stop, you know, we do have to just consume less, but understand, you know, that you can get more by consuming less and having value, you know, finding value where it's not based upon the ability to, you know, the ability to buy something. That doesn't necessarily give us, you know, a deep satisfaction, a sustaining satisfaction.
And in your mind, how do you think you can convey those messages and get people to start asking those questions?
Well, I think I can stand on the fourth plinth for an hour with a bicycle, and that's not a bad thing to have done. I think that's something, and I don't know, for me, you know, there are definitely some work things, projects which I'm doing which sort of relate to that, you know, and not everything I do, but, you know, it's sort of a part of what I do. And I think it's just continuing discussion and asking the question, but without it, I don't know, also without it getting into the world where, oh, it's just, you know, it means that you're walking around with guilt with everything you do, because I don't think that either is the best way, you know, for people to move on. You know, I think it's very easy for us to feel really guilty about some of the things that we do in terms of, you know, going back to what resources we're using to do them, but that, I don't think that is going to help us either. You know, we need to embrace those things that we do, but actually understand that we're in a process of change, and as long as we're sort of sentient to the process of change, then, you know, we are going in a direction and not to all the time, you know, not to be beating ourselves up if, you know, if we do choose to get on an aeroplane or something occasionally.
Have you anything else you'd like to say, or any other comments about being part of the One Another project?
I would just say I've really enjoyed the opportunity to be part of One Another, and just the space to think about different things that I might have done on the plinth has been really interesting. And I was on the reserve list, so I wasn't, you know, I wasn't aware until this morning that I was actually going to be on the plinth, and I think that's been really interesting. So this is probably, you know, what I chose to do, I feel, is a very, very clear thing. I had an idea for what I'd done if I'd been called at 3 o'clock in the morning, which wouldn't have been what I did, but you know, it's been great to actually be on the reserve list and be able to do it very quickly. But yeah, and so it's obviously been a total whirlwind of a morning for me, but, you know, thank you, and thank, you know, the other people you're working with for, you know, just, you know, well, calling me, but also then for, you know, just getting me through all those things as quickly as possible so that I could just, you know, focus on being up there for that hour. So, no, I think very interesting, and thank you, and thank you to Anthony Gormley for, you know, making the piece, or making how far we are, you know, three quarters of the piece so far. Thank you.
Thank you very much.